All right, so I was thinking about one of the ones that we did last week, just the idea of a friend, faithful to the wounds of a friend, kind of that whole concept. So I thought we'd maybe look at, maybe another aspect of that concept of words and when to speak and when to not and what happens when you do it at the wrong time. So take a look at Proverbs 18:19, and this is kind of the half-empty version of that other proverb, when you have done this incorrectly, and what happens. Proverbs 18:19. Somebody read that.
A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and a quarreling is like the bars of a castle.
All right, a brother offended, or that word in Proverbs is used to, is also translated transgress. So a brother transgressed 23 times is harder to be won, is how my NASB puts it, than a strong city. What's the concept here? What has one brother done to another?
Offended
them, right? And contentions are like bars of a citadel. So what happens when you repeatedly offend another brother or sister, presumably here with your words? What does the offended party end up doing? They put up walls and they're done, right? They say, look, you know, you've done it one too many times or what have you. And that's the end result of words that are spoken in wrong timing, wrong situation, with the wrong tone, with the wrong purpose, with the wrong heart, whatever it may be. But that is often the end result of our words. One of the things that I have, and I've shared this with you guys, I think on multiple occasions, but that is one of my, as a persister, and maybe not even just a persister, but maybe it's just a fellow sinner, I struggle with my tone in the way I say things. If I had a quarter for every time growing up, my mom said, Mike, it's not what you said, but how you said it. And it's consistent in my marriage. I get it all the time. And that is one of the things I constantly have to be aware of, or I'll just speak harshly, and I don't mean it at an 8, I mean it at a 4, but it's heard as an 8, right, on a scale of 1 to 10. And I can come across much more stern or frustrated or angry than I really am, but the way it comes out of my mouth just doesn't line up with what's in my heart. Now, that doesn't excuse me if those are my words, and I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth, so it's not like I can rationalize and say, well, I meant to, and I try to do that sometimes, it doesn't work very well. But it's still ultimately my responsibility. And I have to be really careful with this with my kids, right? Some of my kids are like brick walls and, man, they don't care and whatever, it bounces off of them. Some of my kids are like big sponges. And because of their high harmonizers, boy, if I look at them cross, I mean, they like melt in a puddle right there. Like, oh, God, Daddy's mad at me. You know, like, oh, boy. So I have learned this the hard way many times and, frankly, still do. So something just to be mindful of, if you have tendencies to, in your words, offend people, right? You get one chance to do that, and you can't take those back, right? You guys have heard the illustration of maybe a parent trying to teach their kid kind of the power of words and what they do. Dad took a pillow in the backyard, a feather pillow, and shook it out, right? And said, that's what happens when you get your words. And kid was like, you know, when you spread your words, they spread like flower feathers or whatever everywhere. And he said, but in forgiveness, you know, you can try to get them all back, right? And then you try to get all the feathers back, and it's pointless. Or nailing nails in a fence, right? You can pull the nail out, but the damage is still done. There's still a hole, and our words are very similar. So be cognizant of that, right? Sometimes as Christians, we have that idea that biblically we're supposed to speak, right, the truth, and we forget the in love part, right? Well, we're Christians, so we're called to share the gospel, called to share hard things, and that's true. But the in love part is a important balance always to that delicate dance that we're supposed to do as believers, especially when we're dealing with humans. Okay, and oftentimes even folks that you would feel like, man, they're not really offended by what I would say. Some folks have been so deeply pained in their past by words or by other people. They've just erected walls in their life and they put on a facade of being hard so they don't have to deal with their feelings and what have you. So even some of the most, what you would presume are calloused human beings, really aren't. They are people that have been wounded, and in order to not get re-wounded, they put up bars so they don't have to go through that process again. Okay? So that concept of speak your mind, right, is not a biblical concept. It is mark of a fool in Scripture. So remember that as you guys are delivering your words. They are shells that contain great things. And if you do those improperly, the message gets lost, and all that they feel is the delivery and the impact of what you say, regardless of what the content of your words may be. Okay, so struggle with that as I do, and continue to remember that, okay? Lest you have lots of friends that erect bars in your life and wonder why no one wants to talk to you. So, all right. Thoughts on that? Any other fellow strugglers or people that can relate or been on the receiving end of harsh words, maybe in the office about how you dress or something like that?
I struggle with this.
You see, yeah, your walls are up. I'm sorry, Jane. Jane and I have a teasing relationship about each other's outfits. I felt bad about that this morning, just for a moment. It was really short and fleeting, and I stopped feeling bad about it. So, anyway. I was giving Jane grief the other day about her headband, and I forgot to tell her that she actually looked nice that day, and she did. So, you looked nice the other day. I wanted to tell you that. After I made fun of your rainbow headband. So, there you go. I feel better. Dang it, I just wasted all my harmonizer today. Stink. I hope I get it back by Valentine's Day. Tony, sorry. Easy to be that way, right?
Apologize
in advance.
I'm a little late, but still.
People with knife wounds in their back. Yes, ma'am.
How do you reconcile that? Like, if it's happened to you, or if you know you've accidentally said something to somebody, how do you make that? I mean, because you can say I'm sorry, but it's not always taken.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's hard, right? Especially when it's repeated. It can be difficult. My wife is very patient with me because she doesn't struggle with this. She does not have there's just not a harshness to her words. So she empathizes for me, but does not, she sympathizes, but not empathizes. That's what it is. So it's just a different struggle. For her, maybe to, you know, she has learned that she trusts my heart in the process, even though what comes out of my mouth is not always said the way it needs to be. And she will gently remind me because she knows that she assumes I'm trying to be teachable most of the time, sometimes. So she's been very gracious. So I think part of our role is to help people understand. My wife will say things in a way that helps me understand, look, I know you didn't mean that. This is how it comes across, though. So I trust that you didn't mean to say it like this, but boy, that's how it sounded. So, and we try to, in our marriage, keep a lot of humor in it. So we'll joke about it in a way that is, so it just takes some of the seriousness out of it, right? So in a way that's helpful and growing. But so she doesn't let it go. Like, she doesn't ignore it. So that would be the hurtful thing, is for her to direct bars and say, the heck with you. So I'm done talking to you because you're a jerk. So she will remind me gently and trust my heart, I think, in the midst of it. And I've got to be working on it, or it just doesn't get received well. So, and I think for me on that side of things too, I've got to be quick to apologize when I've done it. So, but ignoring it always ends up poorly on both sides, right? Because the offender never gets better. The offendee never gets forgiveness or never feels healing in the process because no one ever apologized for what they said. So not dealing with it is never a good idea. So now you've got to figure out at what level, like, you're truly offended and hurt, and to know when to deal with that. But those are why interpersonal conflicts are so difficult. So, yeah. And oftentimes, like in my case, I don't even know. Like, I'm just completely oblivious. Like, really? Why are you on the floor crying? Because of what you said. Really? Yeah. Oh. Like, I mean, I'm just stupid. So, sometimes it takes someone bringing it to my attention to say, listen, I know, like, it's unbelievable that you don't see this. However, right, there's this large 2x4 in your eye like this that you don't notice. And I go, oh, got it. Thanks. So, anywho, so for what it's worth. Any more thoughts?
I know sometimes I can say, like, the words are right, but it comes out with the tone that I didn't plan. But I usually realize it, like, right away, and I'll be like, oh, I'm really sorry, that's not how I meant to say it.
Wow.
And it's, you know, when I recognize it immediately and apologize immediately, people are like, okay, yeah. They move on.
Can you teach me how to do that? That'd be great.
Because the harmonizer comes out. See? After my first sister already took over.
Yeah, my harmonizer's dead. I buried it.
All the time, yes.
My harmonizer's up in the attic. I killed it.
Yeah. It's weird how sometimes it just comes out of your tongue that I'm meaning.
Yep.
It's like, what just happened there? I don't even...
Yep. Oh. Yep. Happens to the best of us, right? So keep struggling and let God sanctify you in the midst of that, so as he has me. So there you go. It will never, ever go away. So be the struggle is always there. Hopefully it gets better, but yeah, that is just part of my wiring and a lot of you as well. So, all right. Fabulous. All right. Old Testament, shall we? I guess we're still in the Old Testament. That wasn't old.